Are you ready? Are you getting ready? And are you helping others to get ready? Are you prepared? Are you getting prepared? And are you helping others to get prepared? Friends, I know that you've heard many, many gospel preachers before me, whether it was right here at James Avenue or some other congregation. And I know that without a doubt that you have heard others talk about the promised return of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. You and I are both very aware of the fact that there is a judgment day coming. Amen? We know that we certainly should be preparing for that day. But I believe, and I know that you do, as a believer of God's holy word, I know that we are very, very aware of the fact that Jesus is coming back and he's going to pick up his church, his glorious church, and he's going to present us to the Father. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to come back and that he's going to gather his believers, his faithful believers, his obedient ones, those who are faithful to the very call of Jesus Christ. He's going to present us once again to the Father. So the question of the hour is this: are you ready and are you prepared? And let's see what the Bible says again with what Brother Larry just read to us. Having your Bibles with you to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, look with me at verses 23 through 27. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 27. The scripture says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the what of the body? He's the Savior of the body." Go with me to 24. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Verse 27. "That he," talking about Jesus, "might present her," talking about the church, "to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy," and the Bible says, "without what, brothers and sisters? Without blemish." So did you notice the word, the clear words that was used there in verse 27? Holy and without blemish. God expects, brothers and sisters, he expects the church to be ready. Do you agree with that? He expects you and me to every single day for us to be preparing ourselves for that return of Jesus Christ. He's expecting you and me every single day, not only for us to get ready, but to also help others get ready. Isn't that right? He's telling us every single day, not just for us to be prepared, but also to help others be prepared for the promised return of Jesus Christ. You and I both know that there are several passages of Scripture that certainly do bring to light the fact that Jesus is coming back. We sing a song all the time, "Jesus is coming what? Soon, morning or night or noon." Do you remember that? Only two people remember that, either answer or I'm going to sing to you. Now what are we going to do? Now listen to them, Chris. Everybody say, "Yeah, we know it, Jerry. Everything's good." So the reality is this: we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "It is appointed once for man to die, but after this comes what? The judgment." So we know that every single one of us, every accountable human being, will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. We also know with what Paul talked to the Corinthian church about over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all," every one of us, is that right? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive" what? Judgment. Do you see that? We're going to receive judgment. Watch it closely. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Is that right? "That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done." Finish it up. "Whether good," the Bible says, "or bad." And then don't forget that old prophet, that old boy named Amos. Over in the book of Amos in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 4, down in verse 12, where the Lord is doing everything he can. I shouldn't say everything he can, but he's causing some famine and some other issues going on there, trying to get them to repent, trying to get them to turn their life back over to Jesus Christ or to God. The Bible says in Amos 4, verse 12, "Therefore thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet," come on, "prepare to meet your God." Let us also be reminded of what the Bible says over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 7 through 14. Is everybody ready? Four people's ready. Is everybody ready? All right, just making sure we're together. The Bible says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Go with me to verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 2 days. Good, I'm glad you caught that. Good job. Number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his what? Heather, this is a promise, isn't it? And that promise is coming from who? There you go, coming from God. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that every one of us should come to him in what? In repentance, but that all should come to repentance. Look, go to 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it. The Bible says it's going to be what? It's going to be burned up. Is everybody seeing this? Okay. All right, then verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So we're having these passages of Scripture that's a constant reminder about how we're ourselves in the Lord's business. Isn't that right? How we should be conducting ourselves in our every single day walk of life. I encourage everybody in here today, Brother Larry, understand Judgment Day's coming. Amen? And let's be sure that we are preparing ourselves, John, and we are helping others to be prepared. Is that about right? All right, well, let's go on down, look a little bit more. Number 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens, watch this, will be dissolved, being on fire, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, his promise, we look for the new heaven and a new earth in which the righteous dwells. Number verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and without what? There you go. So when we're looking at this being found without spot and blameless, that means God wants to see us striving to do the very best we can. Do we sin? Do we fall short? And because we know what Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, I believe we ought to be reminded, Brother Jerry, of what 6:23 says. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you and I need to be sure that we're ready. Why? Because we know that some's going to be cast away into everlasting punishment, but some's going to be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. And it is my chief desire to go to that place called heaven. If you want to go, confirm it with an amen. That's right. Just wanted to make sure. Then over in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says in chapter 12, around verses 13 and 14, God's great word says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I love that. Fear God and keep his what? Keep his commandments. What is the Bible saying? The Bible's saying do what God's telling you to do. He's not a hard God, is he? He can be a God of severity if you go against the will of God. If you go against the commandments of God, severe things are going to happen. But also our God is a God of love. It's been demonstrated. Read the signs to my left and to my right. Let's do it together. For God so loved the that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great promise from God? Isn't that a great promise from God? All right, and let's go head out to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. See, I threw a couple at you. It wasn't up there, didn't I? Good. Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet, what happened? Very good. Is that love? All right. So when we think about all these things, do you agree that Judgment Day's coming? Do you agree that, Chris, we better be ready? Isn't that right? When we think about that, Teresa, shouldn't we be prepared? Shouldn't we be helping others to get prepared? Shouldn't we be talking to our own families and friends, but not our enemies, because we don't care about them? Let them just go where? That's not what the Bible says. In the book of Jerry Estes, the Bible says, don't even worry. That was pretty good, wasn't it, Bobby? Jerry Estes. That sounds good, don't it, Chris? I might get in a little trouble for this one. So let's back that up. We are to love our enemies as well. Isn't that right, Amy? Love our enemies. Bless those who curse us. Do good to those who use us and persecute us and all that kind of stuff. So we need to be sure that we're ready. Part of us being ready is helping even our enemies be ready to face God on judgment. So I think it's important for you and me to consider a lesson today. Are you ready? So let's get right to these points. The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we ask ourselves the question, am I ready? Are you ready? Here's the first point. Let's look first of all at the importance of preparation. We understand that being prepared is extremely important. Do you agree with that? And we need to get ready for this judgment day. Now, I know that we get ready for a lot of different things upon the face of this earth, and I'm going to be redundant about that here in just a few minutes and talk about it twice. But I know, like at our house, getting ready to go in the mornings, we've been married 40 years, and I have no clue why it takes so long for two people to get ready to go. We can get up at 3:30 a.m., and we're going to be late for church. I was 16 minutes late today, but that's okay. But it wasn't my fault, Chris. It's Paula's fault. Paula's hair is not much longer than mine. I'm just kidding. But the reality is, seriously speaking, I can get up and see, I get ready on the way because I'm walking in. I turn the water on so it'll go ahead and start getting warm. I jump in. Paula uses that pink soap that don't leather real good, and I smell like roses. Come on, help me. So then I have to switch it out and get the D-O-V-E, Dove. And then I like mine because I don't like that stuff left over. When you rinse soap, it's time to rinse soap, isn't it? So anyway, I like getting my stuff and go. I'm done. I'm out of there. I blow dry my hair like I'm supposed to. I use a curling iron if necessary. But honestly, I can be in and out of the shower in like, 9 minutes. I'm out, walking through, ready to go. All right, let's go. And then Paula says, okay, I'll be right out, honey. Just go study. And then like 15 minutes. This is no joke. Like 20 minutes later, I'm not even hearing the water run yet. And I'm like, what are we doing in there? And she goes, her exact words is, shut up. Leave me alone. Anyway, I said all that to say this. Sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to get ready, right? If anybody has extra room in your house, I will need it this afternoon. But we have to get ready. Sometimes it does take us in a spiritual sense. Sometimes it takes people a little longer to get ready, doesn't it? But do you agree we need to be patient? Do you agree that there is some urgency, though, about helping those get ready for this promised day of judgment? We need to understand the importance of this preparation. It's not something that we can just reject. It's not something that we can put aside. But we get prepared for a lot of different things, don't we? Do we prepare ourselves for doctor's visits? I would imagine we do. For all of us that have to go to the doctor for a checkup, I don't think we go outside, cut grass, and then where our shirt changes color. You know, and it's kind of like you have on a blue shirt, but then it goes really, really dark blue. Chris, you ever done that, like cutting grass? And then, you know, Paula told me the other day I look like Batman. I'm like, where did that come from? But anyway, didn't you, Paula? Mm-hmm. Come up here. And so anyway, you know, if we're out there and we're like a big sweat hog, we're probably not going to go to the doctor right after that, are we? You think we'll shower, shave, get cleaned up? Those of you just sitting there going, I'm not really sure. I bet your doctor hates you. The reality is we're going to prepare for that. What about a job interview? Anybody ever go to job interviews besides me getting fired from all my jobs and having to go? Nobody's been at a job interview. Liars. All right, so did you get ready for the job interview? You see how they're hanging me out here, Courtney. What about people coming over to your house? Do y'all prepare for that? Or do you just still leave your socks and your bloomers and everything else laying everywhere? Is that what we're doing? You do? And she invited me over for deviled eggs. Anyway, so we, seriously speaking, we tidy up, don't we? If we know that company's coming over, we're probably going to organize things a little bit more, tidy some things up, dust off the top of the television. And I got in trouble for that old joke, you remember that one, where the wife says, honey, what's on the television? And you say, dust. And then that don't end well. We've got to prepare for certain things. Listen, we prepare for doctor's visits. We prepare for company coming over. We prepare for job interviews, brothers and sisters. Let's be sure that we're preparing for God, okay? We're preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. Do you remember? And if you don't, perhaps we need to really remember this, that the very world in which we live in today was framed by the Word of God. Did y'all know that? Let's take a look and see what's going on over the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, if you look at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So when we think about what happened and how we got here, it's all about God. Amen? Amen? It's nothing that we've done. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything. God made us. And if you don't believe that, go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Go with me at verses 26 and 27. Are you there, Heather? All right. Are you, everybody else there? All right. Check this out. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in..." You are there. Good job. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created in his own image, in the image of God, he created male and he created, the last word, them. He created both of us, didn't he? So since we are created by Almighty God, since the world that we live in is framed by the very word of God, then isn't that the one that we want to prepare to meet on judgment? Absolutely. So are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared for that day? Are you getting ready for that promised day of judgment? Please understand the vast importance of having the right preparation, the biblical preparation, if I may, that must take place in your life and in my life so that we might face God on judgment with confidence and with boldness, being certain that our name appears in that all-important book called the Lamb's Book of Life. Very good. It's God, brothers and sisters, that we will meet. It's God that will determine our final destination. Do you agree with that? It is God who's going to make that decision. So it is my earnest prayer today that each and every one of us, seriously speaking, are living our lives conducive with what the Scripture says. Because if we're not doing what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what kind of hills and valleys you've been in. It doesn't matter about tradition. It doesn't matter if you knew 55,000 Christians, but you yourself wasn't one or isn't one. What matters is if you're obedient to the will of Almighty God. Amen? And that we're doing what God is calling us to do. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you helping others to get prepared? In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 46, the Scripture says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment." Who? Those that fail to prepare. Who's going away into everlasting punishment? Those that one time knew God but then walked away from God. Do you know that that happens in life? That there are people that were very faithful to the very cause of Jesus Christ, raised in the church, in living in the church, doing everything that they can possibly do, not as an outward act of religion, but because of their love for Almighty God. And then the world became pretty much a strong magnet, didn't it? And the world sometimes can pull us back from the righteousness of God. Oftentimes, I've heard people in 28 years of being a minister, I've heard people say, "Well, I don't know what happened to God. He just left me." I promise you today, God didn't leave you. If there's space between you and God, then you're the one that moved. God didn't. Do you understand that? So let's be sure that we very clearly get this, that we need to be ready and to help those that are about us to be ready as well. Heading over to the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 62, and I want to look at verses 11 and 12. Psalm 62, can somebody tell me if Psalm is in the Old or New Testament? It is the Old Testament, okay. Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12, the Scripture says, "God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to who? God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. For you render to each one," give me the next few words. According to his own work. So God is going to judge us. Does that mean individually? Okay, very good. All right, let's go to the book of Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 11. Just give you a little bit of everything here. Proverbs 11, verse 31. "If the righteous will be recompensed or rewarded on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to the ungodly? What's going to happen to the sinner? What's going to happen to those that were pretty good moral people, but they never put Christ Jesus on in life? I tell you what's going to happen. Matthew 25, verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, the Christian, those who are striving to do the best they can in their relationship with God, into eternal life." Is that what the Bible tells us? Okay. So, brothers and sisters, this preparation is of utmost importance. It is extremely important. An appointment that you and I can never, ever, ever miss. And that Jesus Christ is coming back. So we need to be sure that we understand the importance of that preparation. Are we in agreement so far? Okay, you ready for your second point? This is the sleepiest group I've ever been in. Or is it not, you just can't hear me?
Do I need to do the radio talk?
Somebody said, yeah, y'all ready to get off me. Okay, let's talk about the preparation. Y'all ready? It must be adequate. Your second point is this preparation, it must be adequate. Do we get that? All right, very good. Do you truly understand that we must, let's use this next word very clearly, fully. We must fully prepare for the promised day of judgment. Amen. Do we remember that we must do all that God commands us, not just part of it, not just some of it, nothing that we can add to or take away from? Harvey, we've got to do everything that God's calling us to do to become and remain a child of God. Do you agree with that? I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. I can't do what mom says and what dad says and what everybody else says. I've got to do what God says. Isn't that right? If the Lord says it, we need to live it. Is that pretty cool? Okay, and we can't do just part of what God commands in order to become a Christian. God tells us clearly, very clearly, what we must do in order to be saved and to stay saved. Sadly, there's a lot of people in our society today, a lot of people in our world today that believe in what has been described as deathbed repentance. Anybody ever heard of that? Sadly, there are people, and I've been called as a minister. I remember one night it was at Teresa's Hospital there at Baptist, and I remember the call that I got was about 11:30. And the call that I received was one of my mom's dear friend's father who was just about to pass away. And he made it clear his whole life that I am not a person of faith. That's the words he used to use. I am not a person of faith. But then somebody went in and was talking to him just hours before he passed away, and he decided that he wanted to make things right, right then, right on the spot. I am not his judge, amen? Thank God I'm not his judge. Thank God that we're not each other's judge. But the sad part was, I have to go by what the Scripture says. And the Scripture talks about that there's going to be people that's heard the Word of God. There's going to be people that knows what the right way to do things. And then they just choose something else. And then at a chosen moment, when the doctor is saying, hey, you maybe have a couple of days left, that's about it. And then you choose to follow God. I'm going to have to leave that up to Him. Amen? I can't make that call. But what I can do today is tell you that you are in the right mind today, aren't you? I'm in the right mind today. I don't know if my wife would agree with that, but I'm in the right mind today. The reality is we today have an opportunity. We're not on deathbed repentance. However, we could be. Our life could be required when we walk outside the door today, couldn't it? So let me encourage you today. Make sure, number one, that you understand the importance of the preparation. That was our first point. And number two, make sure that your preparation is adequate. We've got to go all the way in preparing to meet Almighty God. There's a lot of people today that have been misled by so many of our friends in the denominational sense. There are many churches that are being misled. Many, many people today, they get caught up in listening to these television evangelists who tells an individual how to become a Christian and remain a Christian. I am not trying to beat up on somebody watching television evangelists, and I'm going to do better. My wife said, stop mocking some of these preachers that's on TV, so I'm going to do better. I'm not even going to do a Joel Osteen again. I'm serious, I'm not. And that almost sounded like Donald Trump, didn't it? Okay. You people got to stop. Y'all pull out the worst in me. But anyway, there's a lot of people that get in trouble with that. They get misled, and you and I need to be very careful. When I opened the lesson up, Esther, I said, are you ready? Are you getting ready? And are you helping other people to get ready? I think that's what I want us to remember. Are we ready? Are we getting ready? And are we helping other people to get ready for that day of judgment? But there are people in the world today, some of these television evangelists and some that you see standing behind a pulpit, that will say all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And then they'll bring out passages of Scripture to try to bring that out. I think one of them is Romans 10:13, where the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's a true statement, isn't it? Isn't it? But it's much more than just a verbal utterance. And some will say, well, that's not what the Bible says, Jerry. That's not what it says at all. Well, let me take you right back to Matthew 7:21 and watch what the Bible says there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So is anybody in here besides me when I was in school and I had to read the whole Bible? One person has read the Bible. I know what the next two. Harvey read it back there. Harvey, come up here and quote it. Harvey's like, no. But the reality is, there is much more than just a verbal utterance and calling on the name of the Lord. He tells us how we are to become a Christian, doesn't he? So for your soul's destiny, please, for your own soul's destiny, be sure to do all things spiritual that the Lord is commanding you to do, because he himself is the one that will accept us into heaven or reject us to that place called hell. Amen? Let's head over to 1 Thessalonians, if you don't mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:5-6. I think it's important that we look at this passage of Scripture, because I believe that you and I need to be prepared all the time, don't we? We need to be prepared every day to meet God, because we do know judgment day is coming, but we don't know when this life is going to end, but we know that it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me at 5-6. The Scripture says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Go to 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be" what? "Watch and be sober." Be alert. Be vigilant. As 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a..." Finish it. "Seeking whom he..." Very good. "Seeking whom he may devour." Knowing that our enemy is out there, shouldn't we be getting ready? Shouldn't we be preparing ourselves and helping others to get ready? That preparation, brothers and sisters, it's got to be adequate. Go with me to the book of John. John chapter 3. I'm going to show you something about being adequate. Sometimes there might be a little bit of confusion because of all the religious division that's out there today. That's why I love the Word of God. I don't have to worry about which preacher's right and which one is wrong, and what teacher's right and which teacher's wrong. I don't have to worry about all that, because I'm just going to go by what God's Word says. If you go by what God's Word says, you're guaranteed, right? As long as you do what it says, okay? Well, let me show you something in John chapter 3, 1-7. Y'all ready? "There was a man of the Pharisees, he's named Nicodemus. He was one of the rulers. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' So he recognized" who? Okay, he recognized Jesus, didn't he? He recognized who he was. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So right here, this is from Jesus. Do you have to be born again to go to heaven? Does everybody agree with that? You agree, John? You have to be, don't you? Go with me, number 4. "Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water" — oh, there we go — "and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel." Watch this. This is where Jesus is telling Nicodemus, the ruler there at night. He says, "Don't be amazed, don't be shocked, don't be astonished, don't fall back, don't faint." Watch this. "That I said to you that ye must be" what? That passage of Scripture shows you and me that our preparation must be adequate. Do you agree with that? We've got to go. It's got to be adequate, right? Okay. The third and final point in this lesson, we'll go home with you. Also, in a third point, we need to understand this. This is sad, but we got to deal with it real quick. There are some people that think that they're saved, but they're not. Did you know that? And that's sad. There are people in our religious world today that think that they are prepared, but they're not. Go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Sounds like a lad back there. All right. Let's talk about some preparation real quick. Thrilling example. Matthew 25, 1-13. Ready? "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were" what? "Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." So they left. They was kind of prepared. Are you getting this, John? They was kind of prepared. They had the lamps. They put a little fuel in it. They put a little oil in it, Bobby. They thought, well, it'd be all right. But they didn't fully prepare, did they? Is everybody with me? "But the wives took oil in their lamps," what? "In their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise ones, hey, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Number 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was what? The door was shut, the Bible says. 11, afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, please open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not what? Why do you think he said that? Because they did not adequately do what they were supposed to do. They thought they were saved. They thought they was okay. They used their own judgment, right? Using our own judgment will send us to hell. Do we understand that? Don't use our own judgment. Use our own Bible knowledge that we get from God. Does that sound fair? Does it really? Okay. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, this is our warning. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's take a look at 21 through 29. And let me show you something else about that. Another example of one that thought that he was prepared. Thought that he was doing the right thing, maybe. Well, let's see what happened. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never what? Depart from me, because you who practice what? Lawlessness. 24, therefore who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like to him a wise man who built his house upon a what? I hope that we're building our relationship with God upon a firm foundation, a solid foundation. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not what? Why? Because it was founded on the rock. That's why it's important, sis, that our relationship with God is founded and firm and planted upon the rock. Amen? Go further. But everyone who hears these sayings of man and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its what? Great was its fall. One built the right, both of them built, didn't they? Both of them built this house, right? One built on something solid, and one built on what he thought would be okay. We don't need to go by what we think will be okay. Let's go by what we know will be okay. God's word is that solid foundation. Amen? So for the individuals out there today that's in a world of confusion and in a world of strife, please pay attention to what the Scripture says about Christianity and how one is instructed to become and remain a whole, complete child of God. Again, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's exactly right. I want to come back and revisit it because I left you in a negative a while ago with that passage. That Scripture is 100% true. If you call upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved. But what's involved in calling upon the name of Jesus is what we're going to close with. And I like to think about Matthew 7:21, which I just brought to you. So listen closely. Please, and I'm begging you, don't be one of those folks that will be surprised on Judgment Day. Don't get that Judgment Day surprise when God looks at you and says, depart from me, for I never what? Depart from me. You didn't come to me. You wasn't earnestly seeking me. You didn't put me first and foremost in your life. You didn't study my word. You were so caught up in Facebook that you neglected the real book. You were so caught up in reading all the other literature and all the other things in the world that you left mine to the side. And now you're going to pay the price with eternal damnation. I've got some people in this world I don't like. Just brutally, absolutely do not like. But I don't have anybody in this world that I hate enough that I hope to go to hell. Amen. And even the people that I don't like, I pray for. Lord, please touch their spirit, touch their heart. I want us all to go to heaven, but sadly not all that's going. Only those that are ready. Only those that are prepared. Only those that are willing to put Jesus Christ first and foremost in their life. Are we together with that? It doesn't matter what mom says is right or wrong. It doesn't matter what dad says. You remember I told you I would repeat this. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the teacher says. It matters what God says. That's why you have a job. Every time when we put those scriptures up there and you get back home that afternoon, you need to study your Bible to investigate those who preach and teach. Do you understand that? It is not so you can come here with a 2x4 and say, Jerry, you big dummy, you said this and it's supposed to be that. Don't do it with a critical heart, because I'm going to get right back with you. But do it with a loving heart, and then I can agree with it, right? Because it's all about people's approach. Some preachers are a little more gentle, and I know that's why I pray, because I told you a long time ago, Chris, I'm very immature. And so it takes me a little bit longer to try to do the right stuff. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, are you going to keep my commandments? Is that right? All right. So let's close our lesson. This morning, how do we prepare to meet God? How do we do that? Jerry, you've told us that it's important. You told us that it's got to be adequate. And you've also said that there's some people that think they're saved and are not. So then how do we get to where we need to be? That's our conclusion. First of all, before anything else, we've got to make a decision. That decision is that Jesus is going to be first and foremost in my life, above everything, above wife, children, land, money, cash, jobs, whatever. Now, there are times that we have to work, amen? Okay, when our funeral home gets like covered up, sometimes got to work. There are people today, doctors, that are doing surgery today. Thank God they're there to help save lives, right? You're getting the picture. But the ones that are flipping pancakes at the lake right now on a grill are the ones that's doing all that. They perhaps forsook the assembly. I'm not going to be their judge, but God will be. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His. Okay, and then we've got to have a desire to follow God. Luke 9:23, amen. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, how often? And then do what? Here we go. Here's how you're going to become a Christian. You've got to hear God's word being proclaimed, yeah? You got to hear it. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very word of God. We not only have to hear it, we've got to believe it. Okay, we've got to believe it, sis. The Bible talks about that, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be what? But he who believes not, the Bible says, shall be condemned. We've got to repent. We've got to change. Now, here's where the challenge is. Is this repentance, isn't it? Changing the way we're living. Stop living for Jerry Ladd Sr. Start living for our Heavenly Father. It's repentance. Luke 13:3 and also 5. I tell you nay, or I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise what? That's right. So let's stop living for ourselves and start living for the Lord. That's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. I've told you this many times before. To me, it reminds me of a ladder, a repentant ladder. You know, it's way up in the air, isn't it? And we'll do really well. We'll climb 4 or 5 of those little rungs, and then we'll fall 3 or 4, and we'll climb 8 or 9. We'll fall 5. We'll climb 12 more. We'll fall 6. Does that happen to anybody besides the preacher? Okay. So just me and Jerry, that's it. Okay, anyway, Revelation 20:8 is coming to the rest of y'all. All right, so also, we need to make sure that we're repenting. And do we need to make a confession? Matthew 10:32-33 says, if you confess me before men, I will be faithful to confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. This confession must take place in the presence of a witness or witnesses. Where do we get that? From Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Where do we get that? From the Lord himself. You need to confess me in the presence of witness, doesn't he? Okay, Matthew 10:32-33. Are we to be baptized? I don't think it's necessary, but are we to be baptized? Glad y'all started cleaning my lunch. Courtney went, he's fired. But yes, we are to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, right? 1 Peter 3:21, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Namely what, Harvey? Namely baptism, isn't that right? Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are we to live faithful, yes or no? Revelation 2:10, latter part, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the what? I'll give you the crown of life. And then always remember that we are indeed, today if you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll become one. Are you ready? Are you getting ready? And will you help others? You know how to become a Christian. Maybe you've already done that, but you need the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be restored. You need to get back in line with Jesus. That's why we're here. Let us pray with you, for you, help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation, come now as together we stand in the